From the Target boycott to the latest on the elections, we've got you covered right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give you a word of encouragement to start the broadcast today. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be in the center of God's will. It is wonderful to know that you are alive doing what God called you to do, what He equipped you to do, what He made you to do. And when you're not in that place, when you have that deep fundamental sense that something's wrong, something's off, something's not right, as uncomfortable as that can be, it's positive because it will push you to seek God. It will push you to not be complacent. It will push you to say, God, what are you saying to me? And if you respond to that, if you'll press in, if you'll search your heart, if you'll get alone with Him, if you'll take inventory of your life, it could just be the very thing you need to bring about radical change and to get you on the path that you need to be on for this season of your life. This is Michael Brown. Delighted to be sitting here right now on the radio. I am 100% sure that I am here by the will of God. I am 100% sure that I am speaking to you because God has called me to be on the radio and has called me to be sitting in this chair speaking to each of you now. So thank you for being part of the broadcast. 866-348-7884. I wrote an article last night responding to a Christian woman, a Presbyterian leader, who had some strong reasons why we should not be boycotting Target at this point. I thought she did a good job of speaking with compassion and seeking to speak with reason, but I think she really missed the boat here, got her points wrong. So I respond to that. I want to tell you why I feel it is so strategic that we take a stand at this time, not just with Target, but with one or two other companies as well, at a strategic moment. Also, the primary elections yesterday certainly went as expected in terms of Donald Trump sweeping the five northeastern states, Hillary Clinton winning 4 out of 5. Perhaps, though, the degree to which Donald Trump swept those states, the amount of votes that he got, the percentage of votes that he got, and even people in exit polls basically saying that they agreed with his talking points. Namely, it doesn't matter who reaches a majority. If you don't have a majority of the votes, if you don't have the 1,237 to win the Republican nomination, then whoever has more, the most between the candidates should get it. I mean, that breaks all rules and all conventional thinking, the way things have been set up for, 150 years, however long it is. And yet people are embracing that. What does that actually mean? And what does this fresh surge of Trump momentum mean? Again, it was expected. Was it expected quite on this level? I would say probably not. Does that mean that he's in? No, still doesn't mean that. Does it mean if he doesn't get in, the Republican Party massively split? Oh, yeah, certainly. You could be sure of that. That as Jonah Goldberg at National Review has said, things are not going to be the same either way. If Trump got in, if Cruz got in, either way, it's going to tremendously split the party. But the question is, with all of this, what is God doing? What is God saying? What should our attitude be? What should we be doing? I want to talk about that first, then get back to Target and get your take. Do you have a spiritual sense of what God is doing in the midst of these elections? 866-348-7884.
fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. The elections. Things continue to heat up, and we're still only in April. What's the world going to look like? What's America going to look like? What's the electoral scene going to look like come November of this year? As hot and heavy and intense as things have been, this has been the mild preliminaries on a certain level, if you can imagine that. So, yes, you know, if you've listened, that I endorsed Senator Cruz last year. Was it late last summer? I was an earlier endorser. And I still believe that he would be the best man for the job, that he would be our best president out of all the candidates that remain. My prayer is not for him to be elected, though, because I don't pretend to be God. I don't pretend to know everything in the heart and mind of God. So we have responsibility to act on what we know and understand. And then we bow down before our sovereign God and say, Lord, your will be done. Your best, your plan for America. Is it God's plan to raise up someone that will be part of judgment on America? Is God raising up someone that will be part of blessing on America? Is God raising up someone unlikely because of which things will go in ways we would not expect in the natural? Those who said that God showed them that he was going to raise up Donald Trump to be president and he'd have the function of a divine wrecking ball and tear down a lot of the political establishment and things like that. They have that perspective. And obviously, if you think that God is raising up a Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, you'd have your perspective. So my prayer is, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Now, let me be as plain about this as I can. I endorse Senator Cruz. When I've spoken out with concerns concerning Donald Trump, it's not because I'm trying to help Senator Cruz. It's because I have concerns. But I want to reiterate, if Donald Trump ends up being president of the United States, as hard as it is still for me to wrap my mind around the concept of a president Trump, but if that was what God did, and if he becomes president, I would say that's what God did, all right? That would be my perspective. I would hope that all of my concerns are wrong. Please understand that. The same with President Obama. I warned that if elected, he would be the most radical gay activist pro-abortion president we've ever had. Sadly, those words have proven true, and in certain ways, he's even gone beyond what might be expected with the Obama administration now pressuring states and saying, if you don't adopt our bathroom policy for transgender students so that a boy can use the girls' room if he so identifies and vice versa, that you could risk losing federal funding. That is, what to call an abomination is really not an overstatement at all. I don't want to use hyperbole. I don't want to overspeak and exaggerate. But to me, it's not hyperbole to say that. So my prayer, though, and my hope from day one of his election was that I'd be wrong, that I'd be proven wrong. Not that my predictions would be true. And this is not some prophecy I was making. It's just clear from his record and who he was. So if Donald Trump became our president, my goal would not be, see, I told you so. See, it should have been crude. No, that's childish. That's babyish. That's making the big issue my ego or my perspective. No. My biggest concern is the glory of God and the good of the nation. So I would hope that I would be wrong on everything. I would rather, I've prayed about these things, of course, and I still don't see it the way others are seeing it, or, you know, God raising up Donald Trump as Osiris. I still don't see it. I've prayed about it. I still don't see it. I would rather that I missed something. I would rather that I was spiritually dense and missed something and that God used him to bless our nation rather than I could get up and say, see, I told you so. Now, that's only a baby that would think like that. So please understand, I'm sitting back watching and saying, I'm still rooting for Senator Cruz. This is still far from over, and we shall see what comes down in the Republican National Convention. If Donald Trump does not reach the 1,237 delegates needed, we shall see what happens. Will it be explosive? Will it be divisive? We shall see. Again, all these things are still a ways off. But this is not a personal issue to me. This is not a wanting to be right issue. This is a wanting to see what is best issue. We really are in a critical state in our nation. I've been doing lots of radio interviews on other stations across the nation, pretty much day and night, about different subjects I've been writing about on stream.org and other websites. And many of the hosts feel the same way. We're in a real critical situation. We're in a real critical moment in our history. So Deuteronomy 29:29, I believe, is applicable. The principle of Deuteronomy 29:29 is applicable at a time like this. Namely, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Hanistraot in Hebrew. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but that which is open and revealed, those belong to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this Torah, this law. Now, that's God speaking to ancient Israel. But the principle remains the same. Let God be God. Let God do what he is doing. Let God, of course, he's going to do what he's doing. But I'm saying from my perspective, I pray, God, your will be done. I pray, God, work, move according to your plan. And then we do what we can do responsibly. In other words, even if God was raising up Donald Trump for a certain purpose, my role may still be to warn. My role may still be to raise issues. Just because God may be doing a certain thing doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be doing something else. And the two can go hand in hand. So in that regard, let God be God. Let him bring his purposes to pass, to bless or to judge America. And let us do what we know how to do. And please, this is so big. Please, please, please hear me. Regardless of who is elected, whoever your candidate is, whoever you feel would be the best for America, regardless of who ends up getting in as president, even if it's the one you think is the best one for America, do not take your foot off the spiritual gas pedal. Do not let up on the urgency. If Senator Cruz was elected and would be a champion of religious liberties and a champion of conservative moral values and a champion of life and marriage and a champion of standing with Israel, even if that happened and he proved true in all those things, we need massive awakening in the church. We need to be just as urgent as we were in the worst moment of, say, the Supreme Court redefining marriage or some other national event that took place that deeply concerned us. On a moral, spiritual level, we need to keep up the spiritual urgency because the watered down, compromised, morally bankrupt state of so much of the nation today goes directly back to the state of the church. 866-348-7884. Let's start in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Jeff, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Mike. As far as Donald Trump is concerned, I believe that Donald Trump will be used by God as a judgment on this country. In other words, Trump will expose sins in this country. There will be rioting, there will be anarchy, there will be chaos, because there will be so much rebellion out there. And I also believe that God will use Trump to harden people also, because he will be so hardened in their sin when Trump takes away the gravy train. And when Trump starts doing some righteous thing. Because it says in the Bible that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Yeah. Also, too, but just ask this, though, Jeff. Just ask this. I can obviously see a lot coming to the surface. It already has if Donald Trump was elected. A lot of people upset, a lot of protesting, a lot of things that people would be differing with. But as far as righteousness, unless God changes him, I see him as the opposite of a vehicle of righteousness personally. So what kind of righteous act would you think that he might perform?
First off, I'm on your side. I like Ted Cruz better myself, but I believe that Trump will be used to expose things because uh-huh. Trump will be used to cut the gravy train, cut the welfare, cut the pork. And you see, and there's a lot of people that are addicted to government. I mean, they're slaves to the government system. And when Trump starts cutting that, it's going to show people for who they are. Because a lot of people vote for these demunists, which is a combination of communist and Democrat, because they get a benefit out of it. And Trump will shake things up. Like a person firing the smelter, firing the gold. And as the gold melts, it brings the dross to the surface. Before I go, all this homosexuality stuff, I mean, in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments...
Tell you what, I got to jump in, Jeff, because we're at a break there. All right, we're asking for your spiritual perspective on things. I may agree or disagree. I want to hear from you, 866-34-TRUTH. And I will come back to the discussion of Target and boycotts.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, a quick reminder, if you heard the announcement yesterday, if you didn't hear, we're going to Israel again. Yeah, this will be my second ever tour to Israel. Of course, ministered there many times. We were so blown away by the impact that the tour had that we did, 2 years ago? People so impacted, so blessed, people wanting to go back. So we've coordinated with my dear friend, Scott Volk. You've heard him on the air with me. And we've got our second ever tour planned. In fact, you get a $50 discount if you register before this week is out. It's going to be February 25th to March 6th. If you've been thinking of going, praying about going, this is the time to go. This is absolutely the time to go. So go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Find out more. Watch the video there. Your family's welcome. Individuals are welcome. You can bring a lot of people from your congregation. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. So go to askdrbrown.org to find out more. All right, let's go back to the phones in North New Jersey. Julie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I think that there's a reason that Donald Trump is able to soar like he is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 27, it says, God uses what is foolish by worldly standards and what is weak to shame the so-called strong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll notice now, when Barack Obama was first appointed, the Republican Party swore that they would do everything that he fails, and they have accomplished that. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine. So he's something. Donald Trump is in there, and there's nothing they can do because it's God's purpose for him to be there. I mean, You have to watch. There's a sowing and reaping system that exists in our word of God.
Yes,
and
so Julie,
God is just repaying. And
just to understand, so in other words, you feel, yeah, look, the Donald Trump phenomenon is quite amazing, and no one would have predicted it a year ago, no matter how much of a reality TV star he is.
Because
and how much
God's
of a,
ways are not our ways.
Got it. So do you see God doing this in order to bless America or to judge America?
God is doing that to, in essence, what the Republican Party did to Obama. Now there's someone in their party who they cannot control, and that is all the will of God to get his purpose across. God can use Donald Trump for good because everyone else thinks he's evil, but God can use him. God can take Donald Trump and make him a saint.
Yeah, of course, and here's the whole thing. You can't vote for someone based on who they might be. In that case, vote for anyone and just pray real hard. Vote for anybody. Don't even follow the elections. Whoever you vote for, just pray God will change them. You have to vote for someone based on who they are and what they've done. By the way, the Republican Party can't control Ted Cruz either. That much they know. But either way, I appreciate their perspective. I just got this breaking news announcement that Ted Cruz has will be announcing his official 4 o'clock meeting, but the news is out now that he has picked Carly Fiorina as his vice presidential candidate. Ted Cruz has picked Carly Fiorina as his vice presidential candidate, which I think is tremendous. I think it's absolutely tremendous. And again, as much as a lot of the media is already coronating Donald Trump as the Republican nominee, no, it's far from over. My big question, though, is what's God doing in the midst of this? What's God saying in the midst of this? Let me step back again before I go to your calls and tie things in again with the Target boycott. My latest article responds to those who say, well, we shouldn't boycott. What are you going to do, boycott everybody? Boycotts are strategic. The Montgomery bus boycott in Alabama, led by Dr. King's civil rights movement, this was sacrificial. You ride a bus because you don't have a car. You ride a bus because it's too far to walk. And yet that bus boycott went on for well over 1 year. And it sent a message. Yes, it did hurt the white bus owners that were practicing segregation. It sent a message to the nation. As Dr. King once said, sometimes there's a need to dramatize things. And there are moments, when something happens, when a line is crossed, and that's when you must act. Right now, across the nation, people are waking up to the radicality of transgender activism. They're waking up to the fact this is not just about helping one or two people out of a thousand in the midst of their struggles. It is imposing a war on gender on the entire culture. This is the same Target that last year removed gender distinctions from their toy aisles. What is wrong with having boys' toys and girls' toys? What is wrong with having the boys' toys and it's blue background and the girls' toys with pink background? The vast majority of boys prefer boys' toys to girls' toys and vice versa. Yes, some boys like girls' toys, some girls like boys' toys. Fine, that's understood, but the vast, vast, vast majority of boys would prefer like a G.I. Joe kind of a doll or toy or a football or a baseball, say, to a sewing kit or a princess doll, the vast majority, and vice versa with the vast majority of little girls. That is just part of our nature. That is part of our culture. Yeah, there are girls who are tomboyish and boys who are more sensitive and feminine-like in that regard. But you don't declare war on gender distinctions because of that. Yeah, but it offends some people. You don't. Everything offends somebody. Everybody's offended by something, and everything offends someone. You don't turn society upside down because of that. There are people, NASCAR drivers, that can drive 200 miles an hour on the highway. But the vast majority of people can't, and we'd have accidents left and right. Our highways would be untravelable, if there's such a word, because of accidents constantly. So you have speed limits. Yeah, you. It doesn't matter that somebody can drive fast. You have speed limits. And yeah, some people don't like seat belts, but because they're, and sometimes if you get in an accident and, you know, the car's on fire, you can't get out because the seat belt's stuck, that could cause fatality. But the vast majority of cases, the seat belts save lives. All we're talking about is cultural sanity. That's all we're talking about. You do not turn the world upside down on behalf of the few who struggle. You reach out to those who struggle and do your best to help them while standing strong for cultural sanity and for the protection and safety of all. I've got a new illustrated video up about Target, a new article. Please go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Check out latest article, latest video, and also, be sure to click on the banner to find out about our Israel tour. You don't want to miss it. If there's any way you can come, it'll be the experience of a lifetime.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, 866-348-7884. Welcome to the line of fire. I want to go straight back to the phones, and we'll start in Boston with Beverly. Welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Eric said I made it a point that I have to call you to talk about this whole transgender movement and ask you, what can we as Christians do? Because I am so righteously upset. I feel that they're imposing their will on us. So basically, because they feel uncomfortable and they want to be included, now everybody has to change and feel uncomfortable because I'm not comfortable for, I guess, a transgender, a man, to be in the woman's bathroom with me. Now, I'm not even talking about the transgender. I'm talking about the pedophiles that could go into a woman's bathroom and do something to me or do something to my child. Let's not put it on the transgender. Let's put it on the pedophiles that has the open access now to do something to women or children. And the whole LGBT community saying that this has never been an incident where, you know, a transgender person has done something. Well, obviously, because you haven't opened that door before. Now you're opening the door. So I just want to know from you, what can we do? Is there any petitions that we can sign about this or what?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Beverly, of course, your concerns are well-founded. Number one, it's a myth that there has never been an incident with a transgender individual and someone else in a bathroom. I was just reading a story from a few years ago that it was at a bar where you had a lot of cross-dressers, as described there, and one woman was not happy with the presence of a cross-dressing man in a bathroom, and he punched her in the face. So this was not a pedophile or a heterosexual predator, but a transgender individual. So, yeah, these things happen. Your average transgender person is probably uncomfortable about this. They're fearful. What's going to happen to them if they walk in the bathroom? How are they going to be treated? So I'm sympathetic to that. But as you said, you don't turn the world upside down for them. I was just looking online, Beverly, and I saw that latest stats in 2010, 70,000 people in America had changed their name from male to female or the reverse. All right, 70,000. In contrast, there are 1.3 million people in America who are legally blind and over 1 million who are legally deaf. So, in other words, the transgender population is a tiny, 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 tiny group. I read a pro-trans article the other day, and someone said, estimates if you have a school of 2,000, between 2 and 4 of the kids will identify as transgender. So, no, you don't turn the world upside down. And then, as you say, now the door is open. Here's one guy, 6'3", burly guy, wearing a wig and dress. He's in the early stages of transitioning. He genuinely believes he's a woman. He doesn't, he's not a predator or anything like that. He just has to go to the bathroom, and he wants to go to the ladies' room. He's in a dress. He can't go in the men's room. Okay, how do you distinguish him from the predator, from the pedophile, from the guy? Look, a predator is, they're going to use every opportunity they have. And I just saw an article with 20 examples of these kinds of things happening already in Target over the years. So why in the world would you want to open the door? So here's one thing you can do immediately. Obviously, we pray for awakening in the church. Whoever can read the articles I've written on this, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and search for the word transgender. You'll see many articles. My book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, I lay out why this is so critical and where it's going. But along with praying, along with asking your pastor to teach on these issues, to give insight, sign the Target petition. This is one thing where we can send a message to America. Go to AFA.net, American Family Association, AFA.net, and sign the petition sending a message to Target. This is awakening the nation as to the issue. It's sending a message to other businesses. It's raising issues of safety and common sense concern. That's something you can do. So AFA.net, sign the petition to boycott Target. We're going to have some more action points in coming days. But thank you, and pray for the salvation and wholeness of those who identify as transgender.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Donald Trump is the one man on earth Hillary Clinton can beat.
We Democrats agree on defending all of our rights.
What we are seeing on national polls, which have us 15, 20 points ahead of Donald Trump, far more than Secretary Clinton.
Only voice missing there, Donald Trump, but we'll hear from Mr. Trump, of course. The elections, everything heating up. What is God doing? What is God saying? How are we to respond? And again, to me, I see all of these issues, the boycott on Target, the larger issue of LGBT activism, the larger issue of is the church waking up, the larger issues of America among the nations in the world, all these things kind of exploding at the same time. What a moment to be alive. What a potential to make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, before I go back to the phones, Human Rights Campaign, big press conference. Look at all these signatures that have come in calling for the repealing of HB 2, the Bathroom Privacy Act passed by North Carolina. Well, in point of fact, the vast majority of the signatures, as Governor McCrory's office have shown, are from out of state. And the amount from North Carolina, what was it, filled maybe one box, as opposed to over 250,000 emails that conservatives were able to generate to the Charlotte City Council, urging them not to go ahead with their radical bill that then precipitated it being overturned by the state, and over 20,000 petition signatures. We had boxes stacked high. Yeah, so much for that outward show. The people are overwhelmingly against the radical bathroom bills. To Mike in Long Branch, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Michael Brown, thanks for having me on. Unfortunately, I'm a person who voted for President Obama twice, and I supported a number of the things that he's done. He's gone cuckoo here. He's gone absolutely cuckoo. And Donald Trump agrees with him on this ridiculous law.
On the bathroom bill, unfortunately, he does. He has said that transgender-identified individuals should be able to use the bathroom of their choice, that Bruce Jenner would be welcome to use the ladies' room in one of his buildings. So, you know, I wonder, let's just say, I mean, an absurd scenario, because the Trump ladies are not just going to be using the YMCA, but let's just say they were visiting some friends and the friend said, hey, let's go to the pool at the YMCA. So Donald Trump's wife and one of his daughters, you know, or maybe if he had a granddaughter, something like that, that they go into the YMCA and they come out of the shower stall. They've got a towel wrapped around them. They've got to now change there. And there's a man who identifies as a woman sitting there. Not even a sexual predator. He's sitting there. I wonder how Donald Trump would feel about that. I mean, he's made the statement. Senator Cruz said, is the whole world gone stark, raving mad? And you know, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are aggressively in favor of these things. And John Kasich's like, hey, let it be, whatever. You know, let people do what they want to do kind of attitude. It's a crazy moment. It is a crazy moment. Thank you, Mike. And considering you voted for President Obama twice, it's something for you to make that statement. I do appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rockland, Massachusetts. Ken, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for having me on again.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I think the last time we talked, it was about urging the importance of your vote. So I kind of wanted to weigh in on what was going on.
Yeah.
With this campaign again. And so I have a few things I'd like to talk about, the Colorado thing. I'd like to talk about the petition that the RNC, or the candidate, the 17 candidates, pretty much made Trump sign, even though he did sign it of his own free will, the pledge to support the nominee, and how so many of these nominees, or so many of those former candidates, are saying now that they will not respect that pledge that they signed. And the, in my opinion, the hypocrisy of that. Now, let me just say, I did not vote for Cruz. I did not vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for Carson. So I've already made my vote,
right,
and my candidate is not there. So I can't change my vote to someone else. But it certainly looks like Trump is probably going to be the candidate. And I think, well, I would, if Trump is the nominee, okay, and if Cruz really wants to make a difference in this country, why can't the two of them get together and make some changes that we really need? Because
so you mean that he would be that Donald Trump would be the Donald Trump would be the presidential candidate and Ted Cruz would be the vice president? Is that your thought?
It is.
Yeah. Now look, others have suggested that, and stranger things have happened, I imagine. George Bush refer to Ronald Reagan's economic proposals as voodoo economics? Didn't he make that statement, called it voodoo economics, and then ends up being the vice presidential candidate, and then after Reagan, the presidential candidate? Look, it could happen. You could say that for Ted Cruz, that's the logical path to the White House. After all, he's only in his mid-40s, and you could say that he'd be in a position to be in the spotlight, to have influence, and then it's a very easy step from vice president to president. It's happened numerous times before. Why not do it? Others would say, but if in principle you don't trust the president or the direction that he's going, how could you then be part of that ticket? Look, at this point, Ken, I couldn't vote in good conscience for Donald Trump if he was the candidate. I couldn't vote for Hillary or Bernie for sure. I couldn't vote for Donald Trump at this point. However, if he did become the nominee, I would go to the Lord once more. And there's still a lot of time between now and November. Say, Father, what's the right thing to do, the righteous thing to do? How can I best honor you? What's in the best interest of the country? There's not a pride issue in my heart over this, okay? So I would go to the Lord afresh. At this point, for many reasons, I couldn't vote for Trump personally. As for the keeping of the pledge, that's interesting. That is very, very interesting. Here, just the pledge that was circulated by GOP officials stated, I affirm that if I do not win the 2016 Republican nomination for president of the United States, I will endorse the 2016 Republican presidential nominee, regardless of who it is. And I further pledge that I will not seek to run as an independent or write-in candidate, nor will I seek or accept the nomination or president of any other party. On the one hand, I can appreciate that. I'm a registered independent, not Republican or Democrat, but I stand with the Republican platform versus the Democratic platform. But I could understand why someone would not want to sign on in the first place, or say, I signed on, but I didn't know what it would actually mean. So then why even sign on? You know, if you didn't sign on initially, the first debate, when Donald Trump did not immediately raise his hand and say, yeah, I'll support whoever the candidate is, he looked bad in doing it. But to many of his followers, he looked good in doing it. Now he said he won't because rules have been changed. Well, no rules have been changed. No rules have been changed. Ted Cruz has not said he wouldn't. He simply said, I'm going to beat him. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to beat him. Because technically, in some states, if you say I'm no longer holding to that commitment, then the delegates are not bound to vote for you. So even though you won, they're not bound to vote for you. For example, South Carolina, I think, if I have this right, if you violate that pledge, then they can say, okay, we're going to give our votes to someone else because you violated a promise that you made. So either way, I fully expect if Donald Trump does not get the nomination through legitimate rules, in other words, if he doesn't reach a majority and he doesn't win on the first ballot, now a second ballot's taken, And many of the delegates say, okay, now we're free to choose who we want. We're going to choose Senator Cruz or someone else. I think if they keep the rules, you have to win at least 8 states. So that would only lead Senator Cruz on its second ballot. Let's say he won. I would not expect Donald Trump to say, fine, fair and square, I accept it. I wouldn't expect that. I would expect him to bolt and maybe run as a third-party candidate. That would not surprise me at all. And by the way, I'm not attacking him for that. I'm not criticizing him for that. I understand why. But then just don't make the pledge. That's the better thing. Don't make the pledge. Thank you, sir, for the call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Queens, New York. Ryza, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak my mind.
Yes.
In reference to these presidency nomination. I believe that what God is saying to America is not to America, really. It's to his church. It is time to wake up. It is time to go back fasting, praying, and asking God to forgive us for living a life gospel that has allowed all these people to take control and do whatever they want. We know that throughout the Bible, we see how the battles have been fought. It is God who wins in the end, but we have lost sight of reality. The church is losing its identity, and now they know what is going on. These politicians know exactly what they're doing. They are playing chess with the church and with the world. And basically, they are getting away with it because we're still blindfolded and thinking that, oh, let's leave the responsibility. Maybe this candidate, Donald Trump, let me tell you, I never sat to listen to him, but I sat down the other day and I said, my goodness, now I know why people really want him. And if I wasn't a Christian, I'll go along with him. But he has no sense of righteousness. They're mocking God in our faces, and we're letting them get away with it because we're too afraid to speak up and say, this is wrong. This is wrong no matter if we lose our job, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
These are the times of persecution, and we know it. And with those laws, what they're doing is saying, you know what? Like somebody say, I don't want to say his name, but he said, an ex-president said once, out of chaos, we are going to bring order. That's anarchy. That's not order.
Yeah, Ryza,
I
appreciate you raising your voice, and you're absolutely right. Wake up time. Wake up time in the church. Seek God earnestly. Examine your own life. Do what you can where you live, where you have influence, to make a difference for the Lord, to honor the Lord, to stand for righteousness. Not concerned with your reputation, but with his reputation. Not concerned with an easy way of life, but concerned to bring blessing to people here in America and to honor the Lord. And it's so easy for us to think that whoever's elected, that's the candidate that's going to do it. It's the role of the church to wake up. Candidates are important, but that's secondary to the state of the church. Wake up time for sure. Thank you for raising your voice. We go to Queens, New York. Flora, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, first-time caller, thank you for what you do. God bless you.
God bless.
Yes, like everybody, I'm upset about the whole change. I was particularly taken aback yesterday when I received an email from a ministry that I really respected for so long. In the boycott, I was hoping that you and others will call for a boycott for a long time. And I'm happy I'm hearing about the Target boycott, which I am doing with my family. As a matter of fact, with Disney, my children and I were supposed to go watch a movie from Disney when all this broke out. And I told them, we're sorry. I, in all conscience, I can't pay for a Disney movie for them. And they understood because, you know, we've been doing this for years right now. So please keep on doing what you're doing. And there's some of us really waiting for leaders like you to call us, just like Dr. Dobson used to do in those days. And for us to just stand up for righteousness. We're the light that the Lord has called in here. And we must shine as a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Enough is enough. That is where we make our stand and our statement. For whatever it's worth, I'm doing it with my family. And I hope a lot of people will join as you, the leaders we look up to that even have the platform to make the clarion call, call us, you know, to tell us to do what we're supposed to do. So I, God bless you for what you're doing.
Well, God bless you, Flora. Thank you for the call, and thank you for doing what you're doing. That makes all the difference. God bless you, and thank you so much. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn. Time is short, but please go for it.
Okay. There was a great article in Breitbart by John Hayward, 23 April from this year, and he brought out the aspect of totalitarianism and how it is about using force to gain political goals. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, what's the big deal here? But it is important that they understand that they're trying to humiliate and marginalize us, make the normal people feel abnormal and to be alone, to be afraid to dissent to what they're doing. And the thing is that it's when a demoralized majority can be subjugated by an activist minority when it refuses to fight. So now's the time to say something. And I'm glad you said that thing about North Carolina, Michael, because the reason why they changed the law there is that a woman had been raped in a North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina bathroom, and they didn't want that to happen to anyone else. A lot of people are just going along, and it is like a frog in water that's going to be boiling, and it's going to be dead before they even realize that they are in the predicament.
Yeah, you're, and that's why, and thank you for the call, as always. That's why the Target boycott, there's something else we hope to be announcing soon as well, but that's why it's important, because people are waking up, and people are going to Target. Men have gone to Target. It's on videotape on YouTube with a cell phone turned on, and video camera turned on in their pocket. And they've gone in there, and they've said, so I just want to be sure. So I can go in. I can actually go in to the ladies' room if I identify as a lady. Yeah, what if women have a problem? Well, then they'll talk to us. What? You're just going to let the guy go in there, and if the women have a problem? What? Are you serious? So this is waking people up. Read my latest article where I respond to Christians who say we shouldn't boycott Target. Go to AskDrBrown.org. All right, real fast, Michael in Milwaukee, time is very short. You're on the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I really appreciate everything you do. Love your books. Just wanted
to say that.
So I hope you don't mind me asking, who did you vote for in the last election for presidential 2012?
I voted with real reluctance for Mitt Romney, and I said to myself, that's the last time I'm going to do something like that. Okay. I voted with reluctance for John McCain before that, and with a lot of reluctance for Mitt Romney, not so much because he was a Mormon, but because I was not convinced that he was really a true moral conservative. So I thought, you know, I can't do that again. I can't just vote the establishment once again, you know, because I think that because of Barack Obama's radical policies and agenda that I couldn't vote for him. So that's what happened, and that's why I felt as strongly as I have this cycle. I wish I had more time to talk, find out why you asked, but at least I want to get your question on. Thanks for appreciating the books. All right, my bottom line today, we've heard it over and over and over. I'm going to sound the alarm once again. Wake up time in the church. America needs you, my friend, to be awake and alert. Well, a new War Room movie, The National Day of Prayer. What's the connection? Alex Kendrick will fill us in.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's something positive taking place. In the midst of the negativity, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the moral insanity, there's something positive taking place. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. What's positive is that people are waking up. What's positive is that people are saying enough is enough. What's positive is that people who've been on the sidelines, people who've been reluctant to speak up, people who've been more concerned with just maintaining the status quo and not wanting to rock the boat, more and more are speaking up, more and more are taking stands, more and more are saying, okay, I wanted to just stay out of the fray, kind of save my life and stay out of the battle. However, the fact of the matter is, it's time to wake up. I don't have that luxury to sit on the sidelines any longer. That's the positive in the midst of all the negative. And National Day of Prayer is about to happen. Now, on the one hand, it's symbolic more than anything. It's not a time when everyone across the nation stops and prays and fasts. It's more symbolic. But something major is taking place in the movies that ties in with that. Alex Kendrick, one of the Kendrick brothers, you've seen some of their movies over these years, powerful Christian messages. He's going to be on to share more with us about that. And I mentioned this last hour. Let me repeat it briefly. Governor McCrory's office in North Carolina has demonstrated that the boxes and boxes of signatures that have come in calling for the repeal of HB 2, House Bill 2 here in North Carolina, which has prompted so much national discussion, that the vast majority of the signatures are from out of state. The vast majority. Within North Carolina, it was maybe a box. Pales in comparison to the signatures that were just generated in and around the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, saying don't put forth this radical bathroom bill in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, the people continue to speak, and the people continue to vote. In fact, let me check this real quick. Let's see. The Target boycott launched by the American Family Association. Over 900,000 signatures continuing to grow and gain momentum as people say enough is enough. Until people say, we are not going to give you our business, and we are sending a message that we do not like your policies, and you are shutting us out. You are being completely exclusive and shutting us out. You are ignoring our needs. You are ignoring the needs of the vast majority of people to cater to a tiny percentage of those who are confused and who struggle. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to disrespect us in that way, if you're going to disrespect the safety of our families, you say safety, yeah. Saw an article today on 20 incidences of sexual predation already over the recent years in Target. This is without the doors being opened the way they're open now. Men getting into ladies' rooms or things like that. And using, you know, holding cell phones underneath her fitting rooms where women's, you know, trying on bathing suits and holding a cell phone underneath the stall. These kinds of things happening, holding phone over the stall. That's without the doors being open to predators as they are now. It's one of those moments. Wake up time. We'll be right back.
Hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You must be the real estate agent. Well, it's so good to meet you. Let me show you the house.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
You wrote prayers for each area of your life.
Prayer strategy.
I sure could use some of that.
You got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. Then you got to get out of the way and let him do it. You need to do your fighting in prayer.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to have with me Alex Kendrick. You might know him as one of the Kendrick brothers. They have produced these amazing movies beginning in 2003 when they pioneered the modern faith film industry. These initial low-budget movies that somehow became national hits with a powerful Christian message. And their most recent movie, War Room, was made for less than $4 million, has grossed nearly $70 million at the box office. This in point of fact, more than grossing income, is making an impact, is touching lives. And we've got the National Day of Prayer coming up. There's talk about War Room again. So I want to welcome to the Line of Fire, Alex Kendrick. Great to have you on the air with us for the first time.
Oh, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Thank you. First, let's step back before we talk about what's happening now. Let's step back, you and your brother Stephen. How did the vision start to start putting out these movies? And what did the professionals have to tell you about your chances of success?
Well, it started very small. In 2002, we saw an article by George Barna that talked about movies being one of the most influential factors in our culture. And as you know, most movies do not have a good worldview. There's quite a bit of nastiness in them, godlessness in them. And so we set out to make a very low-budget movie for our community here in Albany, Georgia. And it was just a $20,000 movie called Flywheel. And it really was intended for locals. And the Lord apparently had bigger plans. The movie kind of exploded on us and ended up going nationwide on DVD. And now there's over 1 million copies of that DVD out there. And that led us to do Facing the Giants as our second movie. And again, these budgets are very small. Facing the Giants was only $100,000 to shoot an entire movie, which is the catering budget for most Hollywood movies. Mm. And we shot it and with mostly volunteers, and it went theatrical in 2006 and did twice what everyone expected. And that led to Fireproof in 2008, which is a movie about marriage. And with each movie, the budget went up, the production value went up. Fireproof is about saving marriage and God's purposes for marriage. And that led to Courageous, the movie in 2011, which is about fathers taking the role of spiritual leader of their home and being men of their word. And then most recently, War Room, which came out last year in theaters. And that's about the power of prayer and the necessity of prayer in our lives. So it's been something that has grown over the years. We're learning more and more with each film that we do, and we're just delighted to see the response to them.
Now, let me ask this, your perspective and Hollywood's perspective. What's your perspective on the success of these movies? Obviously, God's blessing. But in terms of why they're so successful, if you were going to explain it to someone. And then what do the Hollywood pundits say about the success of the movies?
Well, I'm going to start with the Hollywood pundits, then I'm going to go backwards to the first part of your question. You know, there are some that are very interested in why these movies are working at all. We do not use Hollywood formulas for our films. In other words, we don't have A-list Hollywood stars in them and any immorality. We don't have any language, offensive language. And generally, we don't have budgets for massive explosions and special effects. We tend to go for more the heart and relatable issues affecting our culture. We do want them to be entertaining, where they're engaging to watch, but our first and foremost priority is to draw people to a closer walk with God. The first part of your question, why do they work at all? I'm going to give you two answers for that. Number one, we pray about every movie we do extensively. We'll go through a whole season of praying for them. And so we believe that when you honor God, he honors you. We think any blessing that we've received from it is because God was pleased to do so. He is definitely doing the heavy lifting, and we're doing our best just to honor him. But the second answer is, and it goes right along with that, we think there's a hunger in our culture for truth. We think that people are looking for media and stories that they can identify with that offer hope and healing and inspiration, and those are the kind of films that we love making. So the audience is ready for it, and we want God's fingerprints all over it, and so those two together work pretty well.
And we know the power of movies. We know the power of media. On a certain level, it's cumulative. You know, it's not one movie can have an incredible impact, can send out a message, can be a turning point culturally. I mean, these things can happen. It's happened with books at times in our history. But there's the cumulative effect. People see something over and over and over on TV, messages that are, say, pro-gay activists or celebrating sex change surgery or something. They see it over and over and over. They may get a particular slant from the news over and over on something. So there's the cumulative effect. There are other faith-based movies that are coming out. A few are as true to form and just uncompromising as the movies that you and Stephen are putting out. But are you seeing a cultural impact? Are you hearing from Christians becoming encouraged or emboldened? Or you're actually seeing any kind of shift, young people, that's tangible, aside from the success of the movies? Is there fruit that you're actually aware of?
Oh, my goodness. I could go on all day long, but let me give you just a few examples.
Please.
There was a construction worker in Michigan, and he was talking to a pastor, and he said, the weirdest thing is going on. He said, in the last 2 months, this is when War Room had come out in theaters, he said, in the last 2 months, he's had 8 different families hire him to come expand their closets because they wanted a specified area of prayer in their home. And he said, what in the world's going on with that? The fact that it happened once was interesting enough, but the fact that it's happened 8 different times in just a 2-month period tells me something's going on. The pastor said, have you seen the movie War Room? And he said, no, and he talked to him about it. Now, we would not say there's any magic in just having a closet that you can pray in, but we do base that closet aspect on Matthew 6, verse 6, where he says, when you pray, go into your inner room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So there needs to be a place where we can, undistracted, focus on prayer to God. Now, some other stories. The movie was recently shown to a prison of 800 female inmates. And the warden there said, I've never seen a reaction like I saw when you showed this movie. They're crying, they're cheering. And many of them went forward and just knelt on the floor and prayed at the end of this movie. He says, I've not seen anything like that before. There was a juvenile detention center that showed the movie, and 12 young people that watched the movie went forward to the chaplain that was there and said, I want to start over again. I want to hit the reset button and give my life to God and honor him in all that I do. And they prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're hearing there's a group in Ohio that started a prayer boot camp with 71 churches, and they've had hundreds of people come, and they told us, it was spawned by the movie War Room. They said, we need to be praying strategically together. Now, when you see churches come together in unity, I don't know how else to describe it, but that's God, because there's so many different ways that the church is divided in our culture. And to see them come together around the Word of God and praying together for God to have his way, to me, that's just a miracle. So we're seeing that and many more impacts from the results of the film.
Extraordinary. Incredible. And again, that's the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg that you're sharing with us. And so many things happen you don't even know about. We've just got a minute before the break. We come back. I want to talk about the National Day of Prayer and how War Room ties in with that. But Alex, there's a lot going wrong in our country now. And on the one hand, people are thinking that we're right at the precipice and we could go the way of descent, the place of no return. What's your own attitude because of the blessing, the supernatural blessing that you see on these movies, how God raised them up, the impact that they're having, the impossible scenario of it all? How does that leave you feeling personally in terms of your hope and your expectation?
Well, for sure, our culture is getting darker. But as we know, the darker it gets, the brighter the light shines. And so we would say, just like in the culture of Germany, just like in Russia, just like is the current case in China, when people are living their faith, God raises up a remnant, and he takes that remnant and does incredible things with it. So, unfortunately, the church tends to spread the most during persecution, and those days are quickly upon us. You know, with every ungodly law that's being passed these days, I think persecution is getting closer and closer to the local church. And for us to either flee or stand strong in the faith is going to determine how God uses us. And so I do believe that in our lifetime, we're going to see persecution for Christians in North America. I hate that, but at the same time, I love the fact that it could strengthen the church.
Yes, sir. And these movies are being used by God to bring strength and courage. We come back. I want to speak with Alex Kendrick about the National Day of Prayer and War Room. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When we're on our knees, the enemy trembles.
Stephen Curtis Chapman singing Warrior. This is Michael Brown talking about War Room with Alex Kendrick. One of the two well-known Kendrick brothers, Stephen and Alex Kendrick, used by God to produce, to write, to direct these movies, these faith-based movies that have made an impact all over America and have really shaken the movie industry in many ways. Alex, what's happening with the National Day of Prayer and War Room? What's going on in terms of this call to wake up and pray?
Well, as we know, on May the 5th, is the National Day of Prayer, and all over North America, we'll have groups meeting in community centers in front of, local town halls in Washington, D.C., and people will be praying in unity, asking God for his involvement again, his forgiveness in many cases, and we're seeing this all over the country, so we encourage people on May the 5th, if you could be a part of one of those gatherings of prayer, by all means, do it. But what we're doing to prepare for that, on April 30th, just a few days before National Day of Prayer, over 300 churches will be showing War Room in their communities for free. So again, 300 churches showing War Room. If you haven't seen it, this is a wonderful time to see it for free with a large group of people. You can go to warroomthemovie.com and type in your zip code, and then it'll show you all the local locations where you can go see the film, and we strongly encourage it. Again, this is a free showing. The reason we're doing this is we want to remind people of the necessity of prayer, how powerful it can be in your life, to show them a story they'll be able to relate to, their common problems in this movie that people go through, and you see how they strategize in prayer, they fight in prayer, and how God can do just incredible things when he is pleased to do so. So, again, War Room on April the 30th. You can go to warroomthemovie.com and find a place to.
All right, tell me if you agree with this logic. In fact, let me just back up from this and ask this first. War Room, your budget putting out War Room was how much?
$3 million.
$3 million. And how much did it gross?
Well, if you include the international box office, about $73 million. If it's just the domestic box office in the United States of America, is about $68
million. Extraordinary. Okay, and say a normal Hollywood movie, how much would they be, a good, typical, strong movie, what would be the budget for that?
They'll spend $50 to $100 million to make $125, $130. So the margin is a little bit closer. They spend a lot of money to make a lot of money. And so far, the Lord has blessed our efforts. And so we spend, $1 million to $3 million. And as in the case of War Room, it did almost $70 million.
Right. So if you had those percentages, and if Hollywood spent $100 million on a movie and it made it with the percentages that you made it, it would be far, 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 in a way, the greatest, most amazing blockbuster movie in the history of Hollywood. Now, I say that to give perspective because this has never been about money for you. I say that to give perspective. So tell me if you agree with this logic, that you've put out these faith-based movies, most recently on this call to prayer, War Room, and God has supernaturally blessed the message and supernaturally, in that sense, endorsed the message. Does your logic say then that means if we'll do what these films are saying, if we'll make a war room of prayer, if we'll come together and cry out, that God will bless those efforts? He's blessing the movie to bless a message. Is it that simple?
I do agree with that, but even before the movie came out, the fact that he says numerous times in Scripture, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, James 4:8. Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So over and over, Old Testament and New Testament, the Lord says, I will do this already if you seek me. Now, the movie doing well is just further confirmation of that.
Yes,
so
yes.
When a movie comes out and does that. So I would say, you know, the magic is not necessarily in the movie. It's just the Lord is sending up another flag saying, come back to me and seek me. And when we do that, we're blessed because of it. We think if our nation's going to turn around, it's not going to be because the right politician gets in office. Now, we certainly are for voting. We think it's our duty to do so. But we think a true turnaround, a true revival is going to come when we get on our face before God and seek him with our whole heart.
Exactly. So, of course, your movie has strength because it is affirming what God's word said. So this is,
yes,
God's way of drawing attention to that. So God's shouting to us, if you'll really seek me, you'll find me. If you'll really be earnest about this, then I will answer. And although personally I endorsed Senator Cruz for president, I'd love to see him as president. The worst thing we could do, let's just say he made it in. The Trump candidacy is most likely right now, but let's just see that he made it in as a candidate who stands for conservative Christian values. The worst thing we could do is take our foot off the gas pedal and stop crying out and stop being urgent, because the hope of America is not in the White House. It's among God's people waking up. And if we have a president that stands very much against many of our values, say radical pro-abortion and pro-redefining marriage and things like that, it doesn't change anything. If we get on our knees, if we humble ourselves, if we repent of sin in our own midst, God will answer. That's the key to America. Alex, one last question. You may not want to disclose any of this, but are there any new projects that are imminent to come forth?
You know what? We're in that prayer stage right now. We hope to be writing the next script this fall, and we hope to be shooting next year. And again, we believe we have a direction from the Lord. Not quite ready to let that out of the bag yet, but we are excited about doing another film. And again, we want to be in the center of God's will, doing exactly what he wants us to do, because we have no greater asset than the favor of God. And so that's kind of the season that we're in.
Excellent. So tell folks where to go again to find out about this showing of War Room. 300 churches, April 30th, leading up to the National Day of Prayer. Where do they go?
WarRoomTheMovie.com. WarRoomTheMovie.com. You can put in your zip code, and it'll pull up the churches closest to where you are.
Awesome. Hey, Alex, thanks so much for everything you and Stephen are doing. May God's strength and grace be with you. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
God bless. All right. A joy to speak with Alex Kendrick of the Kendrick Brothers. All right, friends, I have an illustrated video up about the Target boycott, and I have a new article up as to why we should boycott. I interact with a Presbyterian leader who gives reasons not to boycott. I interact with that in my latest article. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Check on latest article. Check on latest video. And again, I shared this yesterday, day before, but when I was in Alabama signing books after ministering, signing books at my book table, a gentleman came up to me and said, maybe you're listening right now, sir, that whatever is disturbing him, bothering him, happening in the news, he knows I'm going to be talking about it shortly thereafter on the air, but I'm going to do it with biblical clarity in a way that gives him hope. That's why we're here, friends, to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We simply do not allow space in our hearts, minds, or souls for darkness. Instead, we choose faith. Faith in ourselves, in the power of hard work. Faith in our God, whose overwhelming love sustains us every single day. That's what we choose.
That's the voice of First Lady Michelle Obama. She's a great speaker. She's speaking at Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi, a few days back. Unfortunately, she's speaking out against Mississippi's Religious Freedoms Act, Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act. First Lady Michelle Obama, with all respect to your office and position and the passion of your views, you are very much on the wrong side of justice, very much on the wrong side of God's perspective, God's will in this particular case. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Let me say, in terms of where we stand right now in America, that for some years now it has been boiling. Things have been intensifying. It's been one of those situations where I can point you back to messages I preached 30 years ago and say, told you so. I can go to books I wrote 20 years ago and say, I told you so. Articles I wrote 4 years ago, broadcast 7 years ago, and say, I told you so. Not the only one, but one of many voices saying, wake up, look what's happening in the culture. Church don't compromise, leaders don't compromise. Things now are getting to that boil. I was cooking some healthy pasta the other day. I was boiling water and asking Nancy again, could you remind me of how to cook this? And she said, you're rolling boil. When it gets to a rolling boil, put this in as a bean pasta for those concerned about my diet. It's a healthy pasta with a healthy organic red sauce with no salt, by the way. Just delicious. So 5 minutes, but it's got to get to that rolling boil. One time I put it in prematurely, and Nancy said, no, rolling boil. Then you put it in for 5 minutes. We're getting to that rolling boil point in the culture. We're really getting to that point. Just read another story about a Christian counselor who was fired by her lesbian supervisor because at times she prayed with her patients, with her clients or patients, with their consent. So she didn't speak against any issue. She didn't speak against gay activism, nothing like that whatsoever. She simply did this. She simply prayed with her clients, with their consent, and was fired for being a Christian. You'll hear of this more and more and more in the days to come. And with everything going forward with the elections, who knows where we end up? I mean, look at the scenarios. On the Democratic side, either Bernie or Hillary, most likely Hillary, radical pro-abortion, radical pro-gay activism. And especially a Bernie, the most anti-Israel candidate we've had, major candidate in my memory, maybe in my lifetime. And then on the Republican side, if Donald Trump does not get the nomination, all right, if somehow he doesn't win on the first ballot and then loses on the second, that could be the end of the Republican Party. The whole thing's shaking down. He could easily lead a major third-party run, although it's more difficult at that point because you can't get in all the states. That could easily happen. If Ted Cruz gets in, obviously there's a stand for righteousness and those things. But again, the Trump people would be outraged over that. And if Donald Trump gets in, there are many that just wouldn't even vote for him. So everything kind of in an explosive, volatile moment. What do? We pray. We pray. We pray. We wake up. We do what we're supposed to do. We or the hope of America, Jesus in us. That's the hope of America.
Hey,
Hey, this is Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join me for our second ever trip to Israel, February 25th through March 6th, 2017. This is a great opportunity. I get to interact with you, our radio listening audience, and our ministry partners as we experience the land of Israel together, and it will be a life changer. We've got a great price on the trip, and if you're one of our monthly supporters or torchbearers, you're eligible to receive a special discount for this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Space is limited, and we're accepting applications on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the trip, to secure your spot, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Israel banner, or call our office at 704-782-3760.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I really am excited about this Israel trip. I mentioned it yesterday. I want to repeat this. I am jealous about your funds being preserved and kept and you being protected from charlatans and from gimmicks and things like that. When I encourage folks to support our ministry, I do it with real sobriety. I do it knowing how frugal we are with the funds that come in, knowing how much we are able to put out to so many, many people. If you saw what came in and what goes out, you'd be amazed. If you're a business person, you'd be amazed. If you saw how much impact we have by God's grace and how few people we have doing it, you'd be amazed. Several years ago, a gentleman joined me on our team, was my personal assistant. He's now a missionary in the Philippines with his wife and kids. In fact, my last two personal assistants before my current one, both ended up being missionaries in the Philippines. Yeah, and that's where they serve now with their families. And he had followed my ministry from a distance when he first came to faith. His brother had given him one of my books to read, and he was deeply impacted by it. He and his wife really honored the ministry work we were doing and thought highly of me, but he was never part of the inner working. So then he came and served in our ministry and was a great, great blessing and a real spiritual armor bearer. So we went on a trip together to New York. I was going to be doing a debate with a rabbi, and he was going to be going around New York City really for the first time in his life. He was from the South Texas. Well, it's South, but Southwest. So anyway, as we were talking, I said, let me ask you a question. I always want to know this honestly. You had a certain impression of me. You had a certain impression of our ministry. You had a certain impression of the work that we were doing, the scope of it, the breadth of it, who I was as a person. I said, now that you've been with us, how do you feel? Are you disappointed? Is it less than what you're expecting, more than what you're expecting? And he said that the amount of people we had in the operation was way smaller than he thought, and the impact we were having, the people that we were able to reach was way, 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 way more than he imagined. And I was so blessed personally that I had been who I thought he was and more. That was a real encouragement to me. I say all that to say that when we did our Israel tour almost 2 years ago, I looked at the price. I thought, it's a good price. It's a lot of money, though, to go to Israel, and I know hotel and tour and all of this, and the food and expenses and so on, the airfare from JFK to Israel and back. And, you know, I know it's going to be a good tour. I pushed it, but I didn't push it like I could have. Once I started to compare prices with other major ministries, Bible schools, churches that sponsored trips, I thought, whoa, our price is much better. That amazed me. But then once we were there, I'm telling you straight, I was shocked by what a good deal it was. I'm computing in my brain, okay, this hotel, all these meals, this quality tour, this special excursion here. And then I thought, how in the world? This is amazing. This is a great, great deal. But then when I heard from the people on the tour And they want to go back, and they've never been the same. And they tell us a year later, almost 2 years later, the impact the trip had on their lives and how excited they are. I thought, hey, this next trip, I am really, really going to encourage people to go. And I'm going to encourage them to go. It's not just a great deal. It's a great deal because of the impact it's going to have. And what a great opportunity for us to connect, for me to have meals together with you, for me to do select teachings at different parts on the tour and, you know, baptize folks in the River Jordan and stuff like that. And then on some nights, you can actually join me as I do a live broadcast from Israel. So it really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I am really, really stoked about it. So it's next year, February 25th to March 6th. But if you get in your deposit this week, there's a $50 discount for you. And if you're a monthly supporter, there's a great discount for you as well as one of our monthly supporters. Hey, become a monthly supporter today and sign up. Why not? 866-34-TRUTH. So over to the subject of the boycott. Someone just emailed me and said, okay, it's good we're boycotting Target. I just signed myself. But what about this group, this company, that company? What about them? Well, obviously, you can't boycott everybody. If you did, as I said on the air earlier this week, if you boycotted everybody out there, then probably couldn't use a computer, probably couldn't use a cell phone, probably couldn't drive a car, probably couldn't fly in an airplane, probably couldn't wear a lot of the clothes you're wearing, go to a lot of the stores you're going to, because a large percentage of corporate America is very much friendly towards supporting of LGBT activism, even in its most extreme forms as manifested at Target. However, you can send a message. When someone goes too far, when someone crosses a line, you can send a message. One goal is to awaken believers, to get us conscious, to get us talking about these things, to get us acting on these things. And whatever station of life you're in, as a mom, as a dad, as a student in school, as someone on social media, as a businessman or businesswoman, as someone in media or entertainment, someone in sports, someone in the music industry, wherever you are, you can stand, you can be a voice, you can make a difference. So the boycott has this rallying power to it, this alerting, awakening power to it. And it does send a message to other companies, you don't want to do this because this is not good for business. You are disrespecting your constituency. You are catering to a tiny minority and disrespecting the wishes, the desires, and even the concerns, the valid concerns of the vast majority of your clientele. That doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. So we are sending a message, but we have to be strategic and targeted. Yeah. So I'm looking now at the afa.net/target website. The boycott has 906,000 signers, almost a million signers already in barely over a week. Friends, that just doesn't happen. It's happening because people are concerned, because people are saying, okay, Target has gone too far with this. Well, I responded in my latest article, it's on stream.org, as to why I felt the need to boycott and why I differ with those who say we shouldn't. So I saw an article on Christian Post, where we're also post my articles as well on a regular basis. Carmen Fowler LaBerge, not familiar with her, she's president of the Presbyterian Lay Committee and an op-ed contributor on Christian Post. So she encouraged Christians not to boycott, offering three reasons why we should, quote, tamp down the hair on fire call to boycott Target. She argues, first, while it is true that sexual predators exploit the freedom and trust in our society, predatory behavior remains illegal at all times and all places. Target is on notice that there is concern and fear that their policy invites predation. They should be given the opportunity to prove to be a good corporate citizen by announcing specific plans to ensure the safety of all people while in their stores. All right, with all respect, that to me is foolhardy and potentially dangerous. They have opened the door wide for predators now. I saw an article earlier today on Breitbart.com with 20 examples of sexual predation already in years past, in months past, in Target stores, in bathrooms, in fitting rooms. Now they have swung the door wide open, wide open. And in doing so, they are putting your wives, your children, you yourself, putting you at risk because the door is open for predators who are going to use transgender access to get in. How long do we give them? How many kids have to suffer? How many women have to suffer before we say, okay, maybe we shouldn't have been there? More importantly, and I should say more importantly, equally important, Target's shown no will here to make sure that predators are kept out because they've opened the door wide. And men have, now they're on film. They've walked into bath. Can I use the ladies' bathroom? Yeah, and if the ladies have a problem, they talk to us. But you can use it. Insanity.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, there's a major announcement from the Cruz campaign in 10 minutes in Indiana, I imagine, or in Indianapolis in Indiana. I imagine it's going to be his selection of Carly Fiorina as his vice presidential candidate. So just looking at some emails that came in during the break reminding us about that. 866-34-TRUTH. let me just go on a little bit further in terms of my response to this call not to boycott Target. And then if possible, I'll grab a call or two. So second point made. And by the way, when Target was asked, okay, what about this man dressed as a man who said he wanted to use the ladies' room and because he identifies as a woman, fine. And if the women had a problem, they could talk to Target about it. How did they respond? How did management respond? Quote, we certainly respect that there are a wide variety of perspectives and opinions. As a company that firmly stands behind what it means to offer our team an inclusive place to work and our guests an inclusive place to shop, we continue to believe that this is the right thing for Target. What utter hogwash. Utter hogwash. What utter disregard of the vast majority of their constituents. Second, this Christian Post op-ed, so not speaking for Christian Post, just an op-ed contributor, Presbyterian leader says this, and hang on, let me just get her name right, Carmen Fowler LaBerge. She says this, we need to step back and acknowledge what's actually happening on a larger scale and deeper level. The culture has shifted and nonsense has replaced common sense in many sectors. That's all the more reason, though, that we should make our voices heard today and send a message to corporate America before the entire society loses its mind. Yeah, nonsense has replaced common sense, which is why we need to raise our voices and not say, okay, well, it's a cultural shift and transgender is more in and I guess we just have to be more accepting. No, quite the contrary. She writes, this is complicated and culturally contentious, but raising the alert level of full-scale screaming does not help. There is a clear contest underway in our culture. Is gender a God-designed binary reality, or is it a mutable fluid of the individual? But hang on. Yeah, it is. It is the great contest. But how is it, quote, full-scale screaming to say, in good conscience, I can't give you my business? Here, there's a Facebook post by Izzy Abraham, who went to Target with his young daughter, Tirza, to discuss their policy. After talking with them and concluding he could no longer shop there, he shared his experience on Facebook, encouraging others to follow his example before ending with, quote, I'm not angry, I don't hate, I'm just a dad who loves. That's not full-scale screaming, is it? Signing a petition saying I can't give you my business because of this, that's not full-scale screaming. LaBerge is right that, quote, if Christians start boycotting every corporation that operates out of progressivism's politically correct profit motives, our choice is going to be very narrow, our voice further sidelined, and our influence further diminished. But that misses the point. Boycotts are strategic. There are certain times that a message must be sent when a line is crossed. This is one of those times. Then she argues, finally, the boycott war is neither persuasive nor effective And quote, the current boycott war is only driving us further apart from those with whom we disagree and those whose challenges we don't understand. Well, once again, I beg to differ. It's way too early to assess what impact this boycott will have. It's already very effective in waking Christians up to what's happening in our society. And it's very effective in sending a message to other companies that there are economic consequences to embracing radical LGBT activism. And then, secondly, we can protect our families, stand up for public safety, and refuse to give our business to companies that scorn our values and scorn common sense, while at the same time seeking to better our understanding of those who identify as transgender. That's why whenever I write on the subject, I say we need to do our best to help those who struggle, this tiny, tiny, tiny minority that struggles. We need to do our best to understand their struggles and help them. At the same time, we stand up for righteousness. She closes her article by writing, instead of boycotting, why not call on Target to ensure the safety of women and girls while they're also providing reasonable accommodation to transgender individuals? Instead of widening the chasm, why not find the common concern of privacy and safety, which stands at the center of concerns for both groups? But here, too, she's making a strategic error. And it's one that buys into today's cultural madness. So first, as previously stated, many women and girls, I state this in my article, are uncomfortable with the presence of an obviously biological male in their dressing rooms and bathrooms, understandably so. So even if the person's not a predator, they're uncomfortable with them there. So that's a problem because of Target's policy. Number two, Target's already declared war on gender last year by saying they're going to remove gender distinctions in the toy aisles so you don't have boys' toys and girls' toys in blue and pink colors. And number three, when she says, well, both groups, when she speaks of both groups, she speaks of them as equal players. She forgets that for every 1,000 people, less than 5 identify as transgender. So why turn the world upside down for so few? And Target, rather than saying, okay, if you identify as transgender, we're asking you to use the handicapped bathroom, and we're going to make a special area in the fitting room for you. No, they want people to have a problem to use the handicapped bathroom. And the tiny minority, the 2 or 3 or 4 out of 1,000 that have a problem, you use the men's room and the ladies' room. So the ones that are having a gender identity issue, you use the men's rooms and the ladies' rooms. The ones that are having no identity issue, you use the handicap room. What kind of insanity is that? So, yeah, I appreciate the call for calmness and for maintaining a Christian spirit. But right now, a calm Christian spirit calls for a boycott of Target. There's the right time to draw a line in the sand. That time is now. Read my article at stream.org. Click on the link if you haven't signed the boycott petition. Also, and we have an announcement we'll probably be making, another important boycott initiative we'll probably be making soon. Also, check out my illustrated video on why we should boycott Target. All right, very quickly, we go to Addison, Texas. Carl, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
You're welcome.
I wanted to say, and this will be quick, an odd approach I took to the Target situation is, I don't know if you remember hearing about the incident that happened with Subway and Jared, the representative, or I think it was individual, and Jared, there was a spokesperson for Subway.
Mm-hmm.
My position I took with the Target in my area is, then, are you saying then you would, that Jared or people who operate like Jared are welcome to come in if they just wanted to put on a disguise?
And Carl, the whole thing is, how do you know who the person is? In other words, and I'm just jumping in because I got a break, but I want to get to your call before the show closed. How do I distinguish between the man who genuinely believes he's a woman and who's uncomfortable and fearful about using the bathrooms in public because he doesn't know how he's going to be treated or what's going to happen, but he's genuinely confused about this and deeply believes he's a woman in a man's body and needs to use the ladies' room? How do you distinguish between that person and the predator who dresses like that? The answer is you can't. That's why you don't open up the door in that way. You give us a vivid example, Carl, and it drills the point home. All right, we're out of time. Visit the website, AskDrBrown.org. Find out about the Israel tour next year, February 25th, March 6th. You want to sign up as soon as possible. And my bottom line today. It's a time for concern, but not hopelessness, because our God reigns.